And a warm welcome back to the South Coast Football Holic podcast. The first time in about 11 weeks we've done a pod, obviously with the wet weather hampering the Illawarra Premier League. We finally had our second full round over the past weekend, our first full round on grass. And it's been a fair bit going on over the last week, but to digest it as always, I've got Mr. Josh Bartley from the Illawarra Worker, fresh from Bega. How are you?
Get back on track, mate. It's been a while. How are you?
Mate, I don't know. I'm a bit lost.
I think we all are. Yeah, beautiful. Coming from just outside, beautiful Bega. Don't know if everyone's ever said that before. No, it's good to be here, mate.
Yes, of course. And as we are recording this, there's a certain FFA Cup game going on. 50th minute, Wollongong United are down 1-0 against St. George City, and it's getting a bit fiery from what I've seen this start of this second half. We'll keep you updated throughout the pod, but hopefully we're timing this pod so that by the end of it, we will know the result of the game. Of course, if it goes the extra time, that's a different story. But of course, this podcast is brought to you by our main sponsor, the Fraternity Club at Fairy Meadow. Now the Socceroos into the World Cup again. They'll be showing all Socceroos games on the live big screen. Come the World Cup time in November, they'll be there showing all the big games, showing all the Euros and everything, all the games going on, all the European games, Euros were last year. But be sure, the Fraternity Club is your number one hub for football in the Illawarra. So get down to the frat, get a membership, get a pizza, all sorts. And of course, every season by season, backing us as well. But Mr. Bartlett, we've returned. It's been tricky to get this going with no full rounds being played until last weekend on grass. But we took a while, took about 16 weeks, but we got there in the end.
And ironically, it was a week where both of us don't think we were able to see a minute off on field.
No, no, one of us had COVID, one of us is in Bega.
Yeah, so, yeah, mate, look, first of all, just before we touch on the IPL, just want to say congratulations to the Socceroos. I mean, that was a wild performance and achievement we're all proud of. The way it came about, I don't think any of us could have picked it with Andrew Redmayne, now the most popular man in Australia. Oh. But look, full credit to the lads, they got the job done.
I'll be honest with you, once we dropped those games to Japan and Saudi Arabia about a couple of months ago, I was resigned to the fact that we weren't going to the World Cup, to be honest with you. And to wake up on Tuesday morning, see that unfold in front of your own eyes, it gives you a little bit glimmer of hope that there is still some light in the game in this country, and we just need to find that spark again.
You know, credit to Graham Arnold. He does decisions and not always popular with the general folk and football fans, but he backed his plan. He thought Redmayne was the man for the job, and it paid dividends, didn't it?
Oh, it definitely did. Wollongong United. Oh, sorry, I've got this screen on right next to me here, and United just went close in the 53 minutes gone. We've got about well over half an hour to go. So if I get any candid reactions throughout, that's probably why. All rivalries aside, if Wollongong United get through this FFA Cup fixture here, it's massive for the league. You don't like the national draw for a local side like Wollongong United to get through, regardless of what club you support, it's huge for the league.
I believe it'd be the first time in the IPL history, which is would be a massive achievement. So I'd imagine a lot of Illawarra people would be watching this game, just as we are at the moment.
Yeah, we'll be. I remember vividly in 2017, I think it was Bulleye and the Kemba Warra Fury who got agonisingly close. They both made it to the round of the last preliminary round, the round United are in now. But they both came up against NPL One clubs, I believe, and didn't make it through. So they're the probably two that have come closest to making the round of 32, but look, United's against an NPL 3 side here. They have beaten them this year in preseason, St. George City. They beat them 2-0. So although it is preseason, they've got runs on the board, but they need to find something here. They've got over half an hour to do it. And create history as the first local Illawarra club outside of the Wolves to make the national draw. But Mr. Bartlett, I'm sure you've had a look at the fixtures. These are the same fixtures that occurred on Super Saturday, which was 11 weeks ago now, the last IPL pod, a long time ago. What is your match of the round this weekend?
I think Bulleye, an Olympic, if you look at the start of the season, obviously they've been hampered by how many games they could play. Particularly, I think Bulleye still only played maybe five games. I could be wrong on that one. But both teams have started the year quite strongly, and it should be a good matchup there.
Yeah, I have to agree. And the fact that Bulleye actually beat Olympic last time out, it was considered a bit of an upset, although Bulleye have been playing quite well this year. Olympic are the powerhouse of the comp at the moment, or one of the powerhouses of the comp. The fact that Bulleye got the result over that shocked a few people, and it sent a message to the league saying, no, this isn't just a two-team league or three-team league here. There's teams who can take it to the top teams, and we've seen that over the last weekend as well with Winoona getting points off Olympics. So it's going to be an interesting game, that one. That's probably my match of the round at the PCYC, I believe, 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. But we've got to touch on it, Josh, for one final time. Hopefully, touch wood, the last final time. But the weather, my God, who would have picked this weather the last 15 weeks?
Yeah, who would have thought, you know, weather, now it's lettuce shortages. I mean, 2022 just throws up so much confusion, doesn't it? But no, honestly, the all I've heard and is the constant calls for synthetic fields and things like that this year. I'd rather watch some more football, personally.
Oh, 100%. And lucky for us, I think we've finally got it. But we're going to play a little bit of a fun little segment to ease the tension before we get back into the IPL chat. And that's, we're going to do things that have happened since we last recorded an IPL pod, which was the 7th of April. Now, Josh, I'll let you do your list first or whatever it is of it. But we're just going to provide a perspective as to how long it's been.
Well, it seems like a decade ago. Look, it's just happened recently, but we have to touch on the Socceroos making the World Cup, obviously. That's happened in the last 11 weeks. My co-anchor here getting COVID. That was pretty, I don't know if exciting was the right word. What do you think?
Yeah, look, it was. I wouldn't call it exciting, like yay. I would call it interesting, like, oh no, because any symptom you could have thought of, I copped it. So... it was definitely something of note, and it hampered us actually doing the pod last week. We were going to do it last week, hadn't I, not, you know, come crashing down to the earth. But it was a very interesting week, put it that way. A very interesting story leading up to it.
Absolutely. I've got one more too, actually. It's a cross sport reference, but England have won 2 cricket tests since April.
Really? That's more than they did all summer.
If you watch the last Ashes, I don't think anyone thought they were going to win the game in the next century. So well done to them, I guess.
All right. So what I've got down here is a bit of sport and a bit of world in general. So the first one I'm going to do is Queen Elizabeth rose from the dead to celebrate her Platinum Jubilee since we last recorded an IPL pod. Good old Auntie Liz, 70 years in the making. Like, honestly, she's never going to die.
I like that. Rose from the dead. Good on her. She keeps on fighting.
She keeps on going. Old Auntie Liz. Oh, United just come off the bar. They're in. Sorry, I'm going to say that. United just scored a wicked free kick, I believe. I couldn't see who hit the free kick, but it was wicked. Came off the bar and it was headed in.
Slight delay on mine, so I'm not sure who scored either, but that's a fantastic
effort. It was a follow-up header. Number 8. Might be Jovanovski, actually. Anyway,
that will give them, it's that will give them a lot of hope.
They've started this half a whole lot better than they did the first half. So this is going to be a very interesting half an hour as we record this pod. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, Queen Elizabeth celebrated her 70th.
That's the usual conversation on our podcast.
Queen Elizabeth celebrated a Platinum Jubilee since we last recorded an IPL pod. Aston Villa won and lost Liverpool the league in the space of 5 minutes, which was a very long night in my household. All of the Illawarra's grounds have closed, reopened, closed and reopened again. Obviously, I've been in day-to-day with COVID, and Andrew Redmayne has become a national treasure. Now, Josh, out of all the ones we've just listed, what tops the lot?
Oh, look, I think we... The Queen. Let's go with the Queen. I mean, I think most of the other sport reference. Oh, no. Oh, honestly, I think that EPL race at the end was just insane. That final day. It brought back memories of Aguero and that kind of thing from a long way back. But it was insane.
As a Liverpool fan, it was heartbreaking, but it was crazy that 15-minute spell there. But, wow. That's
talk about flipping history on its head.
Flipping history on its head. Literally, the whole concern for Liverpool all game was that them trying to find a goal. And as soon as they tried to find a goal, bang, three City goals just like that. But my pick of the lot has to be Andrew Redmayne becoming a national treasure, because, my God, everyone was slandering Arnold for putting him on for the shootout. And within the space of about 20 minutes, he became a national icon.
It to be fair, Jared, it was a pretty brave call. I mean, it was Redmayne's form this season. His form this season hasn't been outstanding for Sydney FC by any stretch of the imagination. So,
no.
And Matty Ryan obviously had such a glittered career for the Socceroos as well. So, yeah, big call, and it paid off.
I must say, there's been a lot of energy injected by Flanagan, and I believe it was Correa that just got subbed on in this game so far. United are looking a whole lot more likely here. They're looking like the United we know. They were a different side in the first half. They've come alive this half. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch them unfold here. They look like they're coming into their own. But anyway, we put the Instagram story out for a few listener questions. And we're going to run through a few of these listener questions right here. And the first one is, who's going to win the comp this year, your opinions? Well, and honestly, because of the situation with the rain, I don't think I'm going to guide you back to our season preview. I reckon you go by our predictions in the season preview still, because there's been that many circumstances that have influenced games, as the team's not finding a ground to train or anything like that. I'm not going to change any opinions about teams that we had since the start of the season, because I think it's unfair. But I will say, I won't alter our predictions too much, but I will say the sides that have pleasantly impressed me so far, and that's Tarawana and Bulleye. I know Tara's played more games than most, but they picked up some valuable points. And Bulleye's shown they can mix it with the top sides, obviously beating Kono, beating Olympic as well. So, yeah, some good results from Bulleye, but they did drop points against Coromel over the weekend, which they would have been expected to win. Nonetheless, though, they've had some good, pleasant results and games so far. Has anyone impressed you more so?
Yeah, like you mentioned, obviously Tara have played, they've played, for example, five more games than Wollongong United in the IPL this year, but they've picked up 6 wins in 9 games. I don't think anyone would have predicted that pre-season. So yeah, they can only beat what's in front of them, and they've done a good job, to be fair. And just looking at the table too, Port Kembla, they're kind of sneaking around that top five at the moment. You'd imagine Albion Park will come into that top five the second half of the season, but I think Port Kembla are doing a good job too.
And United can't be missed. 4 games, 9 points. They only lost to Coniston, which...
And they've only conceded two goals. 2 goals in 4 games, United.
And 2 of those goals, I'm pretty sure, were against Coniston. So they've only conceded goals in 1 game this year. They're in the last preliminary round of the FFA Cup, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes on here as we record this pod and it unfolds. Now, we've been asked for some field
updates.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, we've been asked for some field updates after the rain. Now, I think every field's almost just about right now, but there's two that look under question. One of them's Memorial Park, which was meant to host Coromel and Port, I believe, this weekend, but that has been reversed to Wetherill Park. I've heard Memorial Park's going to be out of action for a while, so we'll see how that goes. And the other one's Elizabeth Park. I'm not sure if you saw photos from the Tara and Bellamy game on the weekend, but Elizabeth Park looked worse for wear, so we'll see how those grounds in particular hold up. Other than that, I must say, Terry Reserve looks a lot better than what it has been. I think it's best it's looked in a few years. Haven't seen Macedonia Park. JJ Kelly looks quite nice. Balls Paddock looks nice. They played their first games on Balls Paddock in over a year. Last weekend. So that's had a long break. Cream Park, I haven't seen how Cream Park is. It looks just about what it usually is.
I wasn't sure on PCYC. I know they were a bit worried about PCYC a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, I think they got their first game this weekend, so that'll be interesting to see. Port Kembla looks just about similar to what they usually do. A bit heavy from pictures. And I haven't seen Tanawara Oval yet as well, which is meant to be hosting games this weekend, so that'll be interesting to see. To see how it goes. Now, based off a photo posted by JC Sports Photography of Benny Zuko chomping down a Chavapi roll before kickoff on the weekend, I've gotten a question from JC, and he's asked, does Ben Zuko always eat Chavapi rolls before kickoff? Now, I have to ask Zooks that. Insider scoop, I reckon we should be asking JC Sports that, actually, because he's the one who witnessed it.
Yeah, he snapped away, caught him in the act.
Outstanding. Well, look, he didn't look like he was caught red-handed. It looked like he was enjoying it. So, good on you, Zooks. Good on you, mate. All right, the ladder. We're going to check the ladder as it stands at the moment, and we'll let you know how many games have been played by different teams. But to start off with, we're going to go top to bottom. Tarawana Blueies have played 9 games, 2 more than anyone else, currently on 19 points. Olympic are second after playing 7 games on 16 points. Bulleye, 6 games, 14 points. Connison, 8 games, 13 points. Port Kembla, 7 games, 13 points. Albion Park, 6 games, 10 points. United, 4 games and 9 points. 9 points is the big one to take here because they have a lot of games in hand. Cronulla, Winoona have both played 7 games. Cronulla on 8 points, Winoona on 5 points. Coromandel's played 6 games and 2 points. South Coast United's played 8 games on 2 points. And Bulambi's played 5 games with 1 point. So, as you can see, vast difference in how many games some teams have played. So we can't really read into the ladder too much at this stage until teams are a bit more equal when it comes to games played. But nevertheless, we're going to have a little quick review of the round just gone. That was round 16. Hard to believe, round 16. There you go. First game we're going to touch on is Bulleye 1, Coromandel 1. Now, this is a huge surprise for me as Bulleye have been very competitive this year. Well, Coromandel haven't exactly set the world on fire. I was actually quite surprised by this result.
Yeah, there was a couple of surprises on the weekend. This was a one I would have looked at and thought Bulleye would pick up the 3 points. Not comfortably. I would have thought a 2-1 or a 3-2, maybe even 3-1 kind of win. So, for Coromandel to emerge from the game with something, a point is pretty impressive.
Yeah, good on Coromandel as well. Hopefully that can kickstart a little thing for them. Well, yeah, I'll be honest with you. I was expecting a comfortable Bulleye win. I've seen them a couple of times this year, and they have impressed me. So I was expecting a comfortable win. Don't know what went on there. Obviously, I wasn't allowed outside of my bedroom over the past week for obvious reasons. So, can't really comment too much about it. There was no match report there or anything. So, a bit tricky to look into that one from an analysis point of view. God, I can't even string my words together anymore. Analysis point of view. Yeah.
Not affected at all by isolation, are you?
No. I'm going insane. Don't you worry about that. But yeah, I would have expected Bulleye, from the games I've seen, I would have expected them to pick up the points. And just on that comment from the goal area, I think it might have been Jovanovski, whoever was 8 for Wollongong United tonight. If anyone's got a team sheet, let me know his score because I can't hear the commentator at the moment because we're recording. But anyway,
just quick update. It's 68 minutes in. It's still 1-1.
It is still 1-1, yeah. Well, by the time this pod comes out, they will know the result, but they'll get a bit of reaction as well. So, interesting. It might go to extra time. Who knows? Who knows?
It's going to be a long podcast if we keep it staying out there the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know if we can speak for that long. Although we have 11 weeks worth to make up for, so be a bit of time. Fair bit of time. It's looking dangerous here. Oh, God. Oh, St. George has just rattled the bar. Oh, wow.
Oh, no, it's not a goal. Oh.
Oh, wow. That was big.
I thought that went in.
Well, they were flagging for offside. They left a guy free at the far post after putting the dink and the ball in. Wow, off the bar there. This might be... You know what? Luck might be on United's side tonight. They've hit the bar a couple of times, St. George.
I don't know how they didn't go in. That's a bit of luck, as you say.
That was a big let-off. But they've survived. United have survived. So... still 1-1 at the moment. We'll keep you updated. Bulambi 3, Tarawana 5. This was a high-scoring game. It was 3-3 until very late, I believe. I believe Jolzewski's late double was the difference.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. It was 3-3 up toward about the 85 minutes, something around that, something 10 like to go, that. Something like that. They came home late. I mean, the result itself doesn't surprise me. The score definitely surprises me.
It definitely does. Blamby have shown that they can get a few goals against some sides, but I'm just looking at the score facts right now. And it was, it did finish 5-3. I'm trying to have a look at the minutes in which these goals went in, but I'm pretty sure that double came extremely late. Yes, so it was 3-3 until the 88th minute. When Jozeski scored, and then he scored his second in the 92nd minute to kill it off. So
Just looking at the ladder, Blambi had scored four goals in four games before that match.
So there you go, they almost doubled it. Yeah, basically doubled it straight away in just one game. So it's big points there for Tarawana, though. Obviously, they are, even though they play more games, they're still top of the league.
And they just keep picking it over.
Exactly,
that's
right.
The thing that's impressed me. They just keep picking up results every week. And
exactly right.
Yeah, they played extra games, but it's not their fault they've played extra games. So,
no.
You know, and they obviously responded well to Scott Chipperfield this year so far.
They have, yeah, and that hasn't been talked about enough, I don't think, obviously with the weather and everything like that. But they have picked up some points, you got to give Chipperfield some credit there. So well done to them. So it's 19 points in 9 games. That's over 2 points a game. On average, that's not bad at all. 6 wins.
6 wins, yeah. They've dropped 2 games out of 9, but still 6 wins. So
6 wins is a very impressive record. I'm just trying to have a look at how many they got last year. So in the first 14 games they played last year, they had 4 wins.
Well, there you go.
So already this season, they've got 2 more wins than last year after playing 5 less games. So definitely a turnaround there, and credit must go to Tarawana coaching staff and the players in general. But we'll move on to...
It remains to be seen whether they hold on to top spot or not, but you'd imagine they'll at least finish in that top 5 at this rate.
Potentially, yeah. They've only lost 2 games. And quite a few teams... Well, every team's dropped a game now. Every team's dropped a game this year, so...
Oh, except United. No, you're correct. Sorry, I'm wrong. Yes, you're correct. I think everyone has dropped a game.
Yeah. United dropped one against Coniston. And Olympics, well, they dropped one on the weekend. This will be our next game to talk about, but they also dropped it against a Bulleye. But we'll talk about...
Bulleye undefeated still.
Bulleye undefeated.
They have, yes, but they have dropped points.
Oh, yeah. 4 wins, yeah. 2 draws.
Yeah, they're the only team not to have lost yet, I believe. You are spot on, yes. Yes, the only team not to have lost yet, but they have dropped 2 games, 2 draws. One of them was the one over the weekend. The other one would have been the draw against Coniston, I believe, early in the year. So there you go. But the next game is Olympic 0, Winona 0. This is a big point for Winona here because there was a few games. They picked up that great result against Coniston earlier in the year, but that's their only win so far.
This result really shocked me. I don't know if... Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the game was like, but just on the result itself, it's bizarre. Like to keep Olympic goalless is actually a pretty impressive achievement.
I know. Oh, it has. Winona have provided Olympic a bit of trouble over the last few years. I have picked up a couple of results here and there, but outside of that 2-1 win against Coniston, the results haven't been too good for the Sharkies. So I'm just looking at a big loss against Tarawana. Got that draw against South Coast United, narrow defeat to Port Kembla, but they're currently sitting in ninth, so a point in that game there would have definitely helped the confidence, I feel. So but on Olympic,
looking back, Jared, the game before, Olympic thrashed White Eagle 3-0, so they did.
It was quite dominant. It was quite dominant, that one. So anyway, but for Olympic, though, not being able to back up that performance, wouldn't have liked to drop points in this one.
No, absolutely not. They would be pretty disappointed with that result, I'd imagine.
Exactly, yeah. And we'll get into the next one. Coniston 1, South Coast United 0. Now, these games, are, for last few years in particular, have been actually quite close. I remember the 4-3 win that Coniston had 2 years ago. They had a 2-1 win over South Coast away from home last year, and then South Coast ended their winning run with a 2-2 draw at JJ Kelly right before lockdown last year. So these games have always been close, but Connor getting the points here in this one, closer than what some would have tipped originally at the start of the year, but nevertheless getting the result.
Yeah, that's making you look at it both ways. It feels like just feels like Coniston haven't fully clicked this year. I don't know whether it is the lack of continuity of game time that's hurting them, but they just haven't fully clicked. But they still got the 3 points, didn't they?
They definitely did. Port Kembla 1, Cringilla 0. Thoughts on this game? I heard it was a bit of a gutsy win for Port. The match report referred to it as a dour affair, with the goal coming from a misread from the goalkeeper leading to an open tap-in for for Daniel Carella. But gutsy win for Port in the end. What are your thoughts on this game?
I love the word dour. Just the journalist insight, guys. Dour usually means boring. So that's usually what we're trying to get at when you hear that word. But no, full credit to Port. They got the result. I believe Nikolovsky got the goal.
Carella got the goal.
Oh, Carella got the goal. Sorry, yeah. I think Nikolovsky was man of the match.
I think it was along those lines. I'll have to have a look at that.
So, yeah. Look, obviously.
Do your own research, but I'll have a look.
Zebras obviously did enough to get the result. Crinny's still pretty hard to read where they're at this year.
They are. Oh, pardon me. That wasn't COVID. That was just saliva going down the wrong way. But yeah, Crinny have been tricky to read. It was Jaden Nikolovsky, by the way, not Jordan Nikolovsky, who got me out of the match. So there you go. The boys that they call the Prince of Port. The Prince of Port, Paul Kembler, Jaden Nikolovsky. But he got them out of the match there. But yeah, Crinny have been tricky to read. They, according to a report, the report had the ball for the majority of the second half, but just couldn't find a way through Port. And Crinny, on the other hand, I was just looking at it here. They've lost three in a row, I'm pretty sure. I've had two wins so far. Lost three in a row. Yes, they have. To Bulleye, Coniston and Paul Kembler haven't scored in either of those. Their last goal came on the 20th of May when their 1-0 win against Coromel. So they've gone nearly a month without scoring now, which...
Pretty good roster this year as well. With plenty of exciting young talent.
Yeah. So we'll see if it takes their time to click, I think.
Maybe them and Coniston have probably been a little bit disappointing, the two sides so far this year.
Yeah, well, I don't think they've lived up to the heights which we expected those two as yet. But of course, it has been a tricky situation with the rain, you know, lack of sporting fields to train on and everything. It has been tricky for all sides, so it's hard to read into. So this is probably, yeah.
I think the training aspect's a really big one too, Jared. I mean, I've heard players about to train on tennis courts, on basketball courts, anything they kind of can train on this year, they have. So, yeah, that's probably a fair point.
That's why it makes this pot a bit tricky to do, because you want to analyse how sides are going, but you kind of can't at the same time. Don't read into anything too much. That's the footballholic motto. As by the way, it's still 1-1 United and St. George City at the moment, in case we didn't remind you. But the final game of the round, United, speaking of United, 2-0 over Albion Park. Then these two goals came late from after, ironically, a Jeremy Flanagan substitute, which gave them the lead, which... it's definitely helped them tonight, put it that way. A bit of energy off the bench. High tempo from all reports this game. 0-0 into the dubbed super sub, Jeremy Flanagan, was brought on and broke the deadlock with 25 to go. And then Mitsu Yamada sealed it. But your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, look, they're having a good year. One thing they seem to be identified under Billy Sovalos is the importance of a super sub. They've had it in a few games this year. I think the last... Cup game too was off a late goal from one of their subs as well. So it's a tactic that's working for them, you know. Hopefully for their sake it works for them again this one tonight. But I thought that was an impressive win, to be honest, Jared, over Albion Park.
Albion Park have been a bit tricky to read as well. Six games, three wins, one draw, two losses. Those two losses coming against United and Olympic, mind you, two of the best sides in the comp.
But five goals conceded in those two games.
It has, yeah, has been, which is a bit of an issue. Their goal difference currently sits at -1. None scored against those two sides. Obviously, those sides are hard to break down. But I'm just looking at some of their other results. 2-1 win against Ian McLennan, which was that stoppage time winner, which I predicted, by the way, FYI.
That's right.
1-1 draw against Cringilla, 3-1 win against Bulambi, 2-1 against Coromel, and then those two results against Olympic and United. So, how do you read into Albion Park season so far?
Well, just that small sample size there, it surprises me the lack of goals. I think every year we talk up the attacking ability of Park, but they haven't scored a goal in the last fortnight. With a team that with players like Cameron Morgan in it, that's the aspect that surprises me.
Oh my God, Josh, what just happened over that break?
It is all happening.
Wow. So in the time that our Zoom meeting ended, we had to download a recording, United have gone 2-1 up. St. George's fullback has just been sent off, and United are dead set 5 minutes away from the FFA Cup national draw. With an extra man now. Wow.
What is it? Your thoughts on the send-off, Jared? Do you think that was a fair call?
I'll be honest with you. I was downloading and posting it. I missed it completely. What happened?
So did I. I just had a look up and
I
was like, oh, jeez.
The absolute... You should have... Did you see the guy walking off, though?
Oh, he was not happy.
He's G'ing up the Wollongong United fans as he was walking off. He was just trying to get him up. He was just like, mate, you just got sent off and you guys are 2-1 down.
8 minutes in.
Wow. If they do this, this is going to be huge.
What a second half it's been from United.
What a turnaround. It was the subs of Flanagan and... It was either Sekukoski. Sekukoski scored, by the way. It was either him or Correa that went on with him. I think it might have been Correa. Ever since those subs turned around completely. The energy levels lifted. Flanagan's energy levels were infectious on this side tonight. And I think that was a real turning point. Great subs by Sovalos. I'll give him that.
And United will be hoping for the most minimum stoppage time of all time.
Well, after that red card, it might be a couple of minutes, but I tell you
what.
I'm thinking a couple of minutes. If they get home here, I don't care what club you support in this local league, whether you like them or not, Wollongong United getting into the round of 32 is massive.
How's Ron Sharkey going? Did someone check on Ron
Sharkey? Yeah, someone check up on Ron Sharkey. How is he? All fun and games.
It's insane. And of course, when we go for a short break, everything happens.
Tell you what, before they scored, United nearly had one, if not for a brilliant save from the St. George keeper.
He's been quite good.
Yeah, who's been very good as well.
We are seeing
history unfold in front of our own eyes.
Potentially, for now.
No, it's happening. It's happening, Josh.
Jeez, they deserved it. If they can hold on, they really do deserve it.
They haven't blown the whistle yet.
Can you imagine United potentially taking on an A-League side next?
Can you imagine that? A-League side at Macedonia Park.
Incredible.
Well, I'll tell you what. The main turning point of this game were the subs. And I think Sovalos needs massive credit for this win if it goes through.
Absolutely. For a rookie coach as well. I think we forget he's his first year as coach.
Must say though, Jeremy Flanagan's the ultimate pest. He's just been subbed off. Flanagan's been subbed off.
He only just came on, not that long ago.
Oh, he was on about half an hour ago. Number 9 has come on. I think that's Darjani. Darjani's been subbed on, but this is just purely tactical.
The super sub.
Flanagan was different. The Flanagan sub was the biggest difference tonight, I think.
Absolutely.
And in other news, still not full time yet. We're 4.5 minutes in. We probably could have
done our review.
We could have done the preview by now.
He goes, they're up the other. Oh. This could this be the last be done. To roll the door.
It's got to be done. We're 5 minutes in, ref. Anyway, what's your. What did we say was our matches around this weekend? The Bulleye Olympic game, wasn't it?
Bulleye Olympic for sure.
The whistle's blown. United have made history. Wow. They've done it.
They've had to survive 5 minutes of stoppage time.
Oh, my God. This is
That's
huge.
Massive.
Well done to them.
Wow. Oh, a result I don't think we saw. I mean, I'll tell you praise what. To them. They become the giant killers of the Australia Cup.
I don't care what club you support around here tonight. This is a win for everyone.
Absolutely.
This is a massive win. This is unreal. That's unreal. They could be facing an A-League club next. That's outstanding. All right. Great reaction there. We'll get into our round preview now. First game, ironically, is going to be Wollongong United and South Coast United. Now, United, Wollongong United, that is. have been quite dominant in this fixture recently. Do you expect anything less from this one?
Absolutely. Look, it'll be very interesting to see. I was about to mention how they back up from this cup game, but you'd imagine that'd be full of adrenaline and excitement after what they've achieved tonight. So, yes, look, they go to this game as clear favourites, I believe, and they're going to have their work cut out for them, South Coast United.
Yeah, look, we're talking about the backups, but there is 3 days till a backup. I think that's all right. But the adrenaline after a game like tonight, like, wow. That's they'll be full of energy after that, no doubt about it. But that's huge. That's huge. Well done to them. Well done to them, honestly.
So they're the first IPL team to ever get through to the national draw in the cup. That's just fantastic achievement.
To think of the IPL teams that have tried and failed to do that. I'm thinking your Bull Eyes in 2017, your Furies, all the gun sides from the past few years have never been able to do what United have just done. Well done to them. Anyway, yeah, that's unbelievable.
I think we're just a bit blown away, guys. I think that's why we don't know what to say. It's just an incredible result.
Yeah, I can guarantee one person's going to say, "Oh, you're fanboys." This is like, really, this is a win for the league tonight,
regardless of what team you support.
Anyway, so what's your tip for this United and South Coast United one?
I think I think United will get up 3-0 in this one.
Man of the match,
I think Mitsu Yamada, who played quite well again tonight.
Yeah.
I'm tipping 4-0 United, and I reckon Dinko Tursic against one of his old clubs is we'll get on the score sheet, and I'm tipping man of the match. Olympic against Bulleye, 100% match of the round. We've spoken about it earlier. Bulleye pulled off a massive win last time out. What are you expecting in this one?
Yeah, look, as I said, we've said this is the match of the round. Sorry, mate. I was actually just tweeting about the result, I must admit. I got a bit distracted.
Look, good on you. I was posting too.
this is our match of the round. I think it'll be an interesting game. I think it'll be pretty tight, and I think it'll be pretty low scoring as well, Jared. How about yourself?
Yeah, I think that's a fair call. I've tipped 2-1 Olympic with Goodchild man of the match. What's your tip?
I've got a 1-1 draw. Johnny Martinoski, man of the match. I believe he got 2 goals just a fortnight ago.
Yeah, he was on the score sheet. Martinoski got a double against Abby Parker, pretty sure. Yeah, I'm tweeting too. What about that? That's horrible tweeting and podcasting. Tarawana and Abby Park. Now, this has flown under the radar a bit in our chat tonight, but what happens every time Tarawana and Abby Park play?
It's a high scoring, tight game. And to be honest, Jared, I think it will be again.
It was a tight game last time. Not exactly high scoring, but I did tip a substitute time winner from Albion Park last time out.
You did too. I think it was 5-4 a couple of weeks ago?
Last year. Yeah. I was 4-3 something. Yeah.
I think you'll be living off that prediction forever, by the way, mate.
I might as well. Might as well. It's only round that's actually really gone ahead this year, so I might as well live off it in the last 11 weeks.
Exactly, mate. No, it's brilliant. What do you expect? I think it will be. I don't think it'll be a 5-4 scoreline, but I could see a few goals being chipped on the weekend.
Yeah, I've gone 3-2 Albion Park, man of the match, Minatello.
I've also gone Albion Park 3-2. I think they're going to bounce back after a couple of. As you say, they're playing top teams, so I don't know if it's disappointing results, but I think they'll win 3-2 with Cameron Morgan, man of the match.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call. Cornwall and Paul Kembler. I've tipped 2-1 Paul Kembler with man of the match Prandalos in the back line.
Did you say Coniston 2-1?
Did I? I meant Paul Kembler 2-1.
Oh, maybe.
Did I say that?
So you're looking at, you're looking at Paul Kembler versus Cornwall?
I'm looking at Paul Kembler against Cornwall. What did I say, honestly? This heist is killing me.
The funny thing is, I've gone 2-1 as well, and I think Jordan Nikolovsky will be man of the match after Jaden got it last week.
The prince and the king of Paul Kembler.
An interesting game. Look, just while we're on that one, Cornwall have been pretty good this year. As we said last week, though, they held Bulleye to a 1-1 draw, so I think they'll put up a real good fight on the weekend.
Oh, fair enough. Cringilla against Bulleye. I've gone 2-0 Cringilla, man of the match, Zuko.
Cringilla 2-1 I've gone, and Mendes man the match.
excellent result. Now, I missed the Conor Winona game. That's why you were bringing it up. Conor Winona, I've tipped 2-1 Conor at home. I don't know the man of the match, though. What's your man of the match?
That's a third or fourth game in a row we've got the same scoreline. I've gone Conor 2-1 with Lucas Sturgio, man of the match.
Well, it's kind of hard for Sturge to be man of the match because he's actually in Europe at the so he won't be playing.
Bloody impressive result.
I'll tell you what, if he manages to pull that off...
I'll go Vanilla man of the match.
Vanilla man of the match, 2-1 result to Conor. All right. Look, I think we're going to have to cut that shorty because that was a big result. Wow. Well done to Wollongong United. Good luck to all the clubs this weekend. Getting on the pitch, on grass pitches nonetheless, and enjoy your footy over the weekend.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.